Thank you, Jerry. Open, if you would, to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, where we'll continue our verse-by-verse study this morning. Looking at the Good Shepherd. Jesus is going to communicate through our passage today the different types of shepherds that there are. And then showing us just what he is to his sheep. We're going to, next week and the week after, we're going to depart from the Gospel of John for 2 weeks. Ryan next week is going to cover Titus chapter 1, talking about under-shepherds within the church, what our roles are, what our qualifications are, what we are supposed to be to the church. And then the following week, I'm going to go into 1 Peter chapter 5. And kind of, it's both a positive and a negative passage. Positive in the fact of how we are to rule as elders, and negative in the fact of how we are not to rule. And it's a very eye-opening passage. So I look forward to that. I thought this would be a great place as we're talking about the chief shepherd, to where we could go in to see our roles as local shepherds. So with that, let's talk about the life of a shepherd. Typically, a shepherd was not the owner of the sheep, per se. But they were somebody that the sheep knew. Somebody that the sheep had a relationship with. I kind of look at it almost like I have a couple young girls that I know that are nannies, professional nannies. And the one, she's been with this family for probably 6 or 7 years, being in charge of 2 children. Their upbringing, their care. Much different relationship than a babysitter. Someone who's called out on a Saturday night. Someone whom the children don't necessarily know. So there's the relationship of a shepherd. And Jesus will talk about a hireling. We talked last week how the sheep hear his voice and knows him. A very special relationship. And then when we bring Jesus in as the good shepherd, whose sheep is Jesus shepherding? I think we can go back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is the chief shepherd. God is the owner of the sheep that he calls. And now it gets kind of, this is where my mind kind of goes, Jesus is God and the Holy Spirit is God. And my mind wrestles with that, but that's good. But verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He, the hireling, flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. And I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. And then a division occurred among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, he is a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? And others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? Father, speak to us today through your words. Father, not through mine. I can't convince anybody of anything. But Father, your Spirit can. You who are the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the perfect shepherd. Father, shepherd your sheep this morning. As we feed them from your word. For your name we pray. Amen. Those of us who are married, I think I'm safe to say, for most of us anyways, that should a situation arise that we would give our lives for our wife. In many cases, I think we would give our lives for our children. And I honestly believe that wives would give their lives for their husbands, should they be called to. Because that is love. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. I know I don't run around all day long thinking of different ways that I can die for my wife. But I do know that if something came up that way, I know I would. But Jesus, as the good shepherd, says he will lay down his life for his sheep. And this was standard for a shepherd. The shepherd was in charge of the flock that he was entrusted to. He was the leader, the feeder, the protector of that flock. Verse 12 says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." What's another point that we could make there? The shepherd, the one who is not a hired hand, when he sees the wolf, he does not flee. But he puts himself between the sheep and the wolf. That's done first under obligation to the owner of the sheep, and two, because of the relationship that he has garnered with the sheep, to where he has named the sheep. The sheep hear his voice and follow. And Jesus is making a distinction here between a shepherd and a hireling, between a nanny and a babysitter. The shepherd cares for the sheep. The hireling is there only for his daily wages. And this distinction Jesus is making of himself and the leaders of Israel. Jesus being the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd sent from God to care for the sheep. The Jewish leaders being the hirelings, those that really don't care that much. They want their payday, but not necessarily the welfare of the sheep. Verse 13, this hireling, these leaders, because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep, he flees. But Jesus says again, "I am the good shepherd." MacArthur, in his presentation of this, he uses the phrase, he says, Jesus, "I am the shepherd, the good one," as opposed to these other false shepherds, the bad ones. And Jesus says, "I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." That is a special relationship. The things that can go through our minds in tragic situations. Or the things that don't go through our minds because of our preoccupation with our love for those who we consider our sheep. We're make up a situation. We're driving down the street. I see a Mack truck coming head on towards the side of the car that my wife is on. I turn the car so it's away from her and coming to me. It's natural. I'm not thinking about what else could happen. I'm not thinking, if I'm not here, I'm not going to be able to care for my children. Let it come and hit Beth. I'm not thinking all these other alternatives. All I'm thinking of is I must save whom I love. Jesus says, even as the Father knows me, I know the Father. There's that relationship. See, the Father knows the shepherd. The Father loves the shepherd. And because of that relationship, the shepherd loves the Father. To an extent that he will lay down his life for the sheep. I mean, can you imagine a shepherd? You know, the Bible uses the example of 100. Okay. Jesus leaves the 99 and goes after the one. If that one's in trouble, the shepherd's not thinking, oh, what's going to happen to the other 99 if I die? Just let this one go. That's not his thoughts. That's not what he's thinking about. He must save that sheep. So I lay down my life for the sheep. And this is a picture of what Jesus has done for us. Now, verse 16 has caused controversy. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. And we said last week that the flock that Jesus is talking about is Israel. His other flock. I mean, there's all kinds of thoughts and speculations on this. Some people will say, well, these are the flocks on the other planets that God has created. Believe me, it's out there. If I'm not wrong, and I could be, so don't take me. But I believe the Mormons kind of think along this line somehow. Who's Jesus talking about? I have other sheep. Well, he's talking of the Gentiles, whom he gave the promise to Abraham that from his seed that all the Jews would be blessed. Right? That the whole world would be blessed. Bringing God's love and God's salvation to the Gentiles. So because of these sheep that God has called into his fold, who have the good shepherd as their leader, they know his voice and he calls them. For this reason, the Father loves me. Because I lay down my life. Unfortunately, for our salvation, the laying down of his life would not have been enough. Had Jesus died and remained dead, we would be without hope. But for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. Jesus is giving a picture of what's going to happen, not 6 months from this time that he's speaking, that he will give up his life for us and take it back up again for us. Jesus says, no one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. Now this can be a little bit dicey as well. And we'll look closer at this when we get to chapter 14. As Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays, God, if there's any way, please take take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done. So he gives it up of his own initiative as a command from the Father. Humanly speaking, can you kind of imagine that conversation between the Godhead? Son, I'm going to need you to go down, strip yourself of all your royalty, lay aside all your majesty and become subjective to both human death and my full wrath upon you. Kind of picture Abraham was Isaac climbing that mountain, building that altar, and Isaac looking around, his thoughts going. Usually when we do stuff like this, we've got a lamb with us. Father, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And with tears in his eyes, gulping and choking back Abraham says, Isaac, my beloved, you are the Lamb. And I kind of imagine Isaac, because the Bible doesn't tell us differently, being obedient to his father, trusting his father. And Abraham all the way saying, Isaac, you are the promised son. God will do something. My son, you will give your life for my sheep. But you have the power to take it back again. Jesus says, I have the authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. And this is kind of all going over the heads of these Jews that are in the crowd. I mean, they're catching the references. They're understanding that Jesus is being pretty derogatory to them. What's he mean, we're the hirelings? Is he saying that we're not shepherds, or we're not good shepherds? So a division occurred. Again, because a division always occurs. Just among the Jews because of these words. And the first thing they come up with is, he has a demon. He's insane. He isn't in any kind of control of the words that he's saying. And they look out to the people that have been following Jesus from city to city. And they say to him, to them, why are you even listening to this? He's crazy. He's demon-possessed. But others were saying, just a minute. Hold up here just one second. How can these be the sayings of one who is demon-possessed? You make this charge. Where is your proof? Because we have proof. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind. My dear flock, we have been graced considerably to be able to call Jesus our good shepherd. When we go on our own, which we do, He leaves the 99 and comes after us. Sometimes with His arms of love, sometimes with His rod of correction. But He will come after His own. Because He will keep us until the day of salvation. We talked this morning, talking about the saints of the Old Testament. How we are so much like them. We obey. We get selfish. We turn our eyes off of Him. He comes after us. We cry out. I hate that that's the pattern of my life. I hate that I complain about the manna that He serves. I hate that the water don't come out of the rock the way that I think it should. I hate that sometimes my life just isn't the way that I want it to be. And my eyes turn off of Him. But as the Good Shepherd, His eyes are never turned off of me. And that is the faith and the hope that I rest my eternity in. That He will always be there with me. Even when I spit in His face and claim to be better than He is. The shepherd knows His sheep. When He calls their name, they hear Him and they respond. If you're not His sheep today, you won't respond to His voice because you're listening to
another shepherd or a hireling. Jesus extends his love and his gift to everyone in the sound of my voice today. And his Spirit can take up residence in you so that you can hear his voice and follow him. Father, as we look at you as your Son, as the Good Shepherd, as we see all that he has accomplished for us, Father, as he has taken your wrath that was meant for us, and Father, even as your children, we are not always obedient. We are not always faithful. But Father, we are always yours. So, Father, may you stretch your arms of love around us. When needed, may you strike us with your staff of correction. And, Father, as we mature as your sheep, as we mature as your children, may our obedience be greater. May our faithfulness be greater. Because you have proven yourself to be the Good Shepherd. Father, help us now as we close out our service of worship to you. May our eyes continually be drawn to our Good Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, the Shepherd that makes us want for nothing, that feeds us and waters us. Who we love because you first loved us. We ask this in Christ's name.